in our prayerfulness, as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, that our prayers would naturally become more honest. They would become more true to who we are as we figure out what kind of ways that we're able to really connect with God. That our prayers would become more beautiful, like actually our words and our thoughts in the way that we, our creativity, in the way that we offer ourselves to God and receive him becomes more free in how we do that. And I like the idea of thinking of it as more of an art rather than a science, right? It's not 2 + 2 equals this in prayer. It's not you bend your knees, you bow your head, you do that, and all of a sudden, boom, you have this awesome prayer. But it's more of an art. It's more we have this blank canvas in front of us, and we get to figure out how we want to interact with God, how we want to connect with him. But it also is important that in order for us to find freedom in prayer, we may need some structure to start. For me, there were times in my life where I prayed for like 3 years. All I would pray is the Acts prayer, the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, or requests. That's all I would do. I needed that structure to get myself into a place where I could actually honestly offer myself to God and receive him as he is. But then there's been times in my life too, as of recent, where I literally walked to a park and I looked at a tree and I just thanked God for the tree. And there was like no structure for anything in my prayer. It was just me walking with God and communicating with him. So it could look different throughout our life. But in order to find freedom, some of us may need structure. When I was in high school and college, I somehow fell into this weird sport called shot put, which is one of the oldest competitive sports in the history of the world, besides war, which is crazy. So it's throwing really heavy objects as far as you can, basically. But as years went on, different techniques were made to throw it really far. And as we learned physics and all this different stuff, coaches and athletes learned how to throw heavy objects farther by doing different techniques, not just by being stronger. So for me, I was a smaller athlete for this sport, believe it or not. A lot of the guys I was competing against were like 6'6", 6'7", I'm 5'10". The average weight, I would say, like size of them was about 250 pounds. And I was in high school 190 to 200, and in college maybe a little bit heavier, but in college it was like everyone was really big. So they could kind of use their strength. But for me, I really had to learn the technique. I had to learn how to put my body in positions where I could then throw this object as far as I could. And my coach, who was an Olympic coach, which we were just blessed to have this coach as our football coach, and he was the coach at for shot put. And he, for like half the year, all we would do, we wouldn't even hold an object. We would just do drills where we would literally, beautiful, we would literally just do drills of working this part. The way that it works is you have a ring and you have to stay within that ring to throw it. You can do whatever you want in that ring to try to get the shot put as far as you can, but there are some techniques that were like proven to be able to throw the farthest. So we would learn that technique. And you kind of do like a spin where you spin around and get into those positions and then you throw it as far as you can. But the whole idea was you wanted to get stretch and load your legs, and there's all this complicated stuff around it. But we would do drills where literally for a whole day, like 3 hours, we would just practice loading like this leg, and we would turn our foot. And we would just practice this. And then over time, we'd kind of work the next part of the throw and all that kind of stuff. Eventually, we would get into doing a full throw, and then we would hold a shot put and throw it. And this was every year we would do that. But we would spend hours doing those drills. With like 30 minutes of our practice actually throwing something. And then we would lift for like 2 to 3 hours. We would do Olympic lifting where you get these bars with the weights on the end of it, and we would do different lifts to work different parts of our body to get stronger. So most of the time, all we were doing was stuff other than actually throwing an object. But the whole goal was that we would throw this object as far as we could. And because of that, our coach made us do all these drills and all this lifting as a means to throw really far. Now, in some ways, prayer is similar. One of the quotes that my weird coach had on the back of our shirt, the shirt that I'm wearing this, is this quote: "Forget about brush and ink, and then you will know the beauty of landscape." Now, kind of weird, right? Why does it say that? He's talking, it's a Chinese artist basically said this to someone who is learning martial arts. So the martial arts community took on this quote as like, this is what our focus is going to be. Now what he's saying is, if you think about it as an artist, forget about brush and ink, the things you're using to make this painting, and then you will know the beauty of landscape, and then you'll be able to create this beautiful landscape of an art once you forget the technique. But in order to be able to do that, in order to be able to just have a canvas in front of you and just have that freedom to do that, or in order for me to get into a ring on competition day and spin around and throw it as far as I can, all the preparation and all the practice I had to do before was what was able to get me to a place where I was just free. I was free to paint, or I was free to throw it as far as I could without even thinking about it. Now, prayer is not like those things in the sense that prayer is mostly God's work. We are coming to God as ourselves. We're offering ourselves as we are. And it's more about God meeting us there. Us meeting God there. It's not as much work like throwing would be, or painting or things like that. But there is still a practice to it. There's still a habit that we have to form in order to get to a place where we don't think about prayer, but prayer just becomes a part of our life. So my hope for us is that we would find freedom in prayer. And for some of us, we may need a lot more structure in order to find that freedom. For some of us, we may be totally fine without structure, and prayer just comes more naturally to us. But either way, the more we do it, over time, the more freedom we will find in it. Does that make sense? The other hope for us is that we would hunger and thirst for God. This may be kind of the main primary hope that I have for myself and for you guys, is that we would grow in our hunger and thirst for God. We all know what it's like to be hungry and thirsty, right? We all know that feeling where our mouth is really dry and we feel a little bit like, ugh, I just need water. Like, I just want water so bad. Or when we're really hungry and everything we smell just reminds us of how hungry we are, right? And those two things, those like drive what we do. I think about times when I've been hungry and have like pulled over to get food. I went totally off course of where we were going to get an In-N-Out hamburger because I was starving. Or I waited in line at a movie theater for like 10 minutes while the movie was happening because I was so thirsty that after eating my buttered popcorn that I just wanted water, right? Those feelings, we know that feeling and how that can drive us in our actions. And my hope for us is that we would have that feeling towards God. We would have a hunger and a thirst for God. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that this is a hunger and thirst for the one true God. We haven't talked much about this, but it matters who we pray to. It matters who we pray to. At the core of what prayer is, we're receiving God as he is. Prayer is something, it's kind of become like a buzzword or something you put on like your Instagram as like, pray often, or people wear shirts that just say like, pray, or things like that. I'm not saying that stuff's bad, but pray has kind of just become like something you do. Or in the media, if your parents let you watch the news, or if you just hear it from things of people that talk about like thoughts and prayers, right? Thoughts and prayers are kind of coupled together as there's a thought where you're like, I'm thinking about you. And then a prayer is simply just like, I just kind of throw up my hope to the universe, right? But prayer is only actually prayer if we are praying to the one true God, the God of the Bible. There are other gods in the world that people worship, whether it be Allah in the Islam religion or in the Hindu religion or these polytheistic religions. There are millions of different gods that people pray to. But what makes prayer powerful is the fact that we are praying to the one true God, the one who has authority, the one who is real, the one who created the universe. It's so important that we understand that. And that is who we want to hunger and thirst for. We want to hunger and thirst for the one true God. And recognize that the one true God of the whole universe wants to spend time with you. That's crazy. That's mind-blowing. So pray to the one true God. Someone who did this often was David, who was the king of Israel, but before that he was a shepherd where he looked after sheep. So you can turn with me to Psalm 42. It's one of my favorite psalms, but if you look throughout the psalms, all the psalms are prayers to God. And I love coming across these prayers where you just get a sense that David or whoever was writing this that particular psalm has this deep hunger, this deep desire inside them for more of God. And I think Psalm 42 is a beautiful picture of that. And I'm just going to read it. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, the one true God. When I can go and meet with God, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throngs. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And it goes, and he continues to remind himself of God as his refuge, in that he just longs to be with God. That's all he wants. His soul thirsts for God. I love that image. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for my God. You just have this picture of like, he's just thirsty for more of God. And his response is prayer. He's praying to God. He's proclaiming, he's offering himself to God, and he just wants more of him. Psalm 63 verse 1 is another psalm of David, and he says this: you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. This acknowledgement of without God, I am nothing. I'm dry. I'm parched. I'm thirsty. I want more of you. I believe that David, he's not perfect, but he is a great example of honest prayer. And when he prays, as he prays, these prayers of thirst for God, I believe that because he is praying, God is satisfying that thirst. That when he prays, God is satisfying that hunger and that thirst that he has for him. And at the same time, that hunger for God is exactly what God wants from him. That when you have that question of, God, where are you? I want more of you. God, where are you? Right? That is the posture that God wants us to have towards him. And prayer is the way that we can grow in our hunger for God, or that we can increase our hunger for God. If you want more of God, begin to pray. Continue to pray. And that hunger for him will grow. Maybe that is your prayer. Maybe for a whole year, every day, all you pray is, God, give me a hunger for you, and see what happens. If it's honest, if you're honestly offering that to God, I challenge you to pray that prayer every day. So freedom in prayer is my hope for you guys and for me, and a hunger and thirst for the one true God. That is what our life should be. So with that said, those are my hopes. But one of the prayers or ways of praying that I feel like we haven't fully gotten to cover yet that I want to just briefly touch on is called intercessory prayer. Who can tell me what the word intercessory means? It's a big word. I don't really hear it anywhere other than in the Bible. Okay. Intercessory means to mediate. Who can tell me what mediate means? Jordan. Yeah, I love that. So Jordan said a bridgeway between two things. So a mediator is someone who there's person A, person B. A mediator is the bridge between those two points. So intercessory prayer is essentially praying for someone else. That's what intercessory prayer is. It's being a mediator between someone else and God. Now, last week we talked about how God himself is the mediator for us. That Jesus is the ultimate mediator between us and God. He is our high priest. If you know of the Old Testament, the Israelites had a mediator, and he was called the high priest, and he was the one that would go in and sacrifice to God, and he would be with God on behalf of all of the Israelites. Well, Jesus, by dying on the cross, became that mediator for us. So because of Jesus, we get to be with God. But with that said, we are called to pray on the behalf of others. And throughout Scripture, we see prayers on the behalf of other people. If you look in the Psalms, again, David prays for the Israelites. He prays for other people, asking God, pleading with God to save them, to help them, to crush them. But he's praying for these things. We see in Paul's letters, every one of Paul's letters, Ephesians, Philippians, the Corinthian letters, Romans, he has prayers throughout it where he's literally writing down a prayer. My prayer for you is this. He's mediating. He's asking God to do something for someone other than himself. We see Jesus himself praying. That's what his famous prayer in the garden, right? He's praying to God and he's praying for his disciples, that God would spare his disciples, that he would save his disciples, that he would protect his disciples. So praying for others is something that we see all throughout Scripture, and it's something that I believe is core to being a follower of Jesus. That if we're a follower of Jesus, we should be praying for one another, because at the core of following Jesus is what? Loving God and loving others. An intercessory prayer is one of the most loving things that we can do, because in intercessory prayer, what we are doing is we are offering them to God on their behalf. Right? Our definition of prayer, offering ourselves. Intercessory prayer, we are offering them to God. And one of the things I've been thinking about, just the image that comes to mind, is that when we pray for someone, I want us to just imagine you standing before God. When we pray, we're standing before God. And whether that image is helpful for you of you with Jesus, or you standing before God on his throne, or whatever that may be, just imagine that, right? A lot of times I imagine myself with Jesus, like sitting in on a throne, but we're kind of at the same level, and that's kind of what I imagine in prayer. Now imagine me praying for Natalie, and that's me bringing Natalie to Jesus and saying, Jesus, this is happening with Natalie. You know this, but I lift her up to you. I give her to you. I offer her to you in ways that I can't help her, right? And that's kind of the image of intercessory prayer. It's us offering ourselves, or offering them to God on their behalf. And I think this is so important when we think about what that means. Think about the love that you have for someone in offering them to Jesus on their behalf. Now, we've talked about this whole series about praying, just prayer being between us and God. And why is it not that they can't just pray for themselves, or whatever that may be? But I think there's something that even bigger that happens when we intercede on behalf of another person. Because it may be that we're praying for things that they don't even know they need. Or it may be that we're praying for a loved one who is sick and needs healing. Or we may be praying for someone to come to know the Lord, or maybe praying for someone to grow in their own patience and self-control and all those things, right? We can lift one another up. We want what's best for them. We love them. Praying should come naturally. And when we pray on the behalf of others, when we pray for others, we should pray with specific needs, expressing those specific needs. Raise your hand if you've ever done prayer requests before. Like you've done that in a small group, or like someone's asked, like, does anyone have any prayer requests, right? I think for me, I know that's become something where it's kind of just what you do, right? You're kind of like, all right, any prayer requests? And then you pray. And not to discount that as a good thing, but a lot of times when we do that, we don't think as specific as we ought to, I think. I think when we pray, we should be praying for really specific things and asking God for those things. Another thing with that is when we are praying for others and praying for specific needs, we shouldn't just say that we'll pray for them. I think a lot of times, I know for me, I'll be like, oh, like, thank you for sharing that. I'll be praying for you. Right? How many of us have done that before? Right? Well, I've done that and then not actually prayed for them. Right? And I think what's important is when we pray for someone, rather than just telling them, hey, I'll pray for you, I'll be thinking about you, actually pray for them. And maybe what you do is you pray for them right then and there, whether it's at school or at church or wherever it may be. You don't just say, I'll pray for you, but just pray for them. Just do it in the moment. The other thing, pray with them. I think there's something really powerful about physically praying with someone. A lot of times this isn't possible, right? Because maybe someone comes to mind that you want to be praying for and you're not with them. But if you're with someone and you want to offer them to God with them standing there, there's a really cool like physical representation of what's happening in the spiritual realm when you do that. So I think it's really cool that if you're going to pray for someone, pray with them. And a lot of times that can feel really uncomfortable. I know for me, like there's certain social settings where like I'm really uncomfortable to just like break out and like pray for someone. But I'd encourage you guys to like practice it. Try it. Try doing it in a place where you're uncomfortable, not just for the sake of that, but if you feel like, hey, I'm really led to just like offer you to God after you've talked to me about this like friend drama that you have or whatever. Just pray for them right there at your friend's house or on the volleyball court, not while you're playing. But whatever that may be, but just pray for people. I think that's so important. When we see Jesus model prayer for others, he often models it praying for his enemies. And he says, love those who persecute you or love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Literally, pray for those people who want what's not good for you. Pray for the people that want that want what's not good for you, your enemies, the people who are persecuting you, the people that are making fun of you, maybe even hurting you for your faith. Those are people you should be praying for. And I think what's so powerful about this is thinking about prayer, offering someone to God. This is one of the ways that we can love our enemies, which is something that Jesus has called us to do. Just think about for the moment with me, the people that frustrate you in your life, where they get under your skin and they just frustrate you. Or maybe people that you experience jealousy with. Like you look at their life often and you just have that like yucky feeling inside you, like, ugh, like you don't deserve that. Like I should have what you have, right? We know that feeling, which is not a cool feeling. Or maybe people that just make us straight up angry, like maybe a bully at school where you just look at them and you're like, you're just a mean person and I'm angry. I just want you to go away. Right, we might have people in our mind that we can think of when it comes to that. Now imagine taking time to pray for them. Imagine taking time to offer them to God. Think about what would have to happen internally for you to do that in an honest way. One, you're forced to acknowledge your part in whatever that relationship is, right? If I were to lift up prayer for someone to God and they're frustrating me or there's jealousy there, anger, or whatever that may be, I have to acknowledge the yuckiness in my own heart towards them when I bring them before God. There's a humility in that. The other thing is that God can handle whatever burden you have from that relationship with someone that you're having a hard time with. God can handle that burden. He knows what's going on already. So you're just acknowledging it and saying, God, I offer this person to you. And the other thing is God has love for that person. God loves your enemy. So when you're connecting with God, what you might receive from God is love for them. And rather than bitterness and anger or jealousy or frustration or whatever that may be, you end up experiencing a love for them that you could never experience on your own. So praying for your enemies is one of the most important things that we can do as a follower of Jesus. Another thing when it comes to intercessory prayer is that we need to learn how to receive prayer with humility and gratitude. This one may be the hardest one for me. And even just as I say it, I'm like, oh, I need help in this. There's something really vulnerable and humbling about receiving prayer from someone, from allowing someone else to offer you to God on your behalf. There's something really humbling about that, right? That saying, I could acknowledge this with God, and I think that's important, but I'm actually going to allow this person to bring me before God in my weakness, in my hurting, in my pain, or whatever that may be, and be with me in this. And I think for us, it's important for us not to just be on the giving end of that, but to learn how to receive prayer from other people as well. None of us are perfect. All of us are broken. All of us need one another, especially in prayer. So this could look like asking other people, hey, can you be praying for me? I'm going through a really hard time with my friends. Hey, could you be praying for me? Or will you pray with me right now? I am feeling really anxious. Or, hey, will you pray for this person? They're having some health issues and I don't know how to pray for them on my own because I'm doubting God a lot. Will you pray for them because I know that you really trust God in healing and that kind of stuff, right? There's this really amazing fellowship, community that can come from praying together. And then lastly, I think this is really hard, but really important, is that your prayers make a difference. That when you pray for someone else, it makes a difference to God. Now, this is a really challenging theological statement, and there's a lot of questions that still come up for me when it comes to God being all-knowing and all-powerful, and then us being free to make decisions and all that kind of stuff as humans, and figuring out how does that work with prayer. When we pray, and God already knows that prayer, and he's all-powerful to do whatever he wants to do, and yet we are free to make decisions and to choose God and not to choose God, right? What does it mean that our prayers make a difference? And I think what's important just to hold together, all throughout the Bible, we have to hold these tensions together. These tensions of like, okay, God knows everything, and yet, and he's all-powerful, and let he's given me the choice to make decisions on my own. And we have to kind of hold all these tensions together. Or God has a plan, and yet I have a part in this. And prayer is the same way. Throughout Scripture, we see people praying to God, pleading with God, and God seemingly changing his mind. God saying, like Moses prayed that God would spare a whole city. And he like prayed multiple times over, well, if there's just like one righteous man in the city, will you spare it? If there's just 20, if there's 30, 100, whatever it may be, will you spare the city? And God chooses not to destroy the entire city. And there's something where it's like, whoa, Moses seemed to change God's mind in this. Now, I don't know how that all works, but I know that our prayers make a difference. God wants our prayers. He calls us to pray for other people. He wants us to offer them to him, and they do make a difference. There's so many times in my life where I have been praying for things, and it may look, the outcome looks way different, but as I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, God totally answered that prayer. One of them being praying for Natalie to come to know Jesus, right? I had very little part in that, and I don't take any responsibility that my prayer saved Natalie, but I do think that my prayers made a difference. I do think that God responded to my prayers and so many other people praying. My grandpa said that he has prayed for me since the day I was born. The day I was born, that I would come to know Jesus. I'm still in progress in my relationship with Jesus, but I've come to know him as my Savior, and I believe that my grandpa's prayers made a difference in me coming to know Jesus. There's stories of people being healed, that when people prayed for healing, people were literally healed from diseases or broken limbs or things like that. Now again, prayer is not a formula like that, and it's not if I pray this way or if I'm good and I pray that way, then God's going to answer it in a certain way. But I think just acknowledging that prayer makes a difference is important. And we can trust that God wants our prayers, and he wants to use our prayers to do what he wants to do in the world. And that's awesome. So, that's what intercessory prayer is. We could spend another 8 weeks just talking about this, and there's so many questions I even have about it, but it is so important. So with that said, we are going to move into a time of prayer. Like if you were here last week, we had a little reflection activity. And for I'm just going to give some space for us to just be with God on our own, but together. And one of the things that we put together, Cameron made this awesome bookmark that has the different practices that we've been going over for the last 4 weeks, and then including the Acts prayer, which we've done in the past. And the challenge, or I should say, I don't even like the word challenge, the invitation is that we would pray every day for 5 days this week. Now, the hope, the invitation is that we would pray every day. But to start, the invitation is that we would pray every day for the next 5 days. So Monday through Friday, we're going to be doing it as a San Francisco team in San Francisco together. So I'd encourage you guys to let's do it together. And each day has a different practice. So the first day, we've got worship as prayer, which is simply listening, or if you play music, play it to your favorite worship song or a playlist of worship. And really just think about the words that you're singing or that you're listening to. Get on your knees, raise your hands, whatever you want to do. Go on a walk and let those songs be your prayer to God as you spend time with him. So that's day one. Day two, scripture as prayer, which is, I put for this to pick a psalm because the psalms are all prayers, so that's easy. But if you know of other prayers like in Paul's letters or Jesus's prayers or the Lord's prayer that we did, and literally read that prayer. If you haven't memorized, say that prayer as your own prayer. So find one that you like really connect with. Maybe you're in a time where you're feeling really lonely or feeling feelings of like sadness or depression or whatever that may be. There's tons of psalms where David is crying out to God saying, "Where are you, God? My bones are in agony." And maybe that's your honest prayer that you connect with. Or maybe you really want to thirst for God and you're like, "I don't like want God enough." And you pray 42 or 63 as your prayer, and you want that to be your heart towards God, or Psalm 23, whatever that may be. Breath prayer was one where we talked about this idea of breathing in something that you need from God and breathing out what the thing that's kind of holding you back from that thing from God. So the good example is you're feeling anxiety, maybe a lot, and you focus on breathing in God's peace. So when you breathe in, You say, "God, I receive your peace." And when you breathe out, you say, "God, I breathe out anxiety." And you do that as many times as you see fit. You could do that on the couch. You could do it walking around your neighborhood. You could do it during your volleyball game, whatever that may be. But that's day three. Day four, intercessory prayer. Offer someone else to God, a friend in need, the health of a family member, the faith of a stranger, etc., whatever that may be. We bring others to God and intercede for them as the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. I love that idea. Just like prayer is just this crazy mixture of everyone, of God and us offering ourselves to one another. And it's really cool. So pray for someone. And the last day is Acts prayer, which is really simple. And you start with adoration for God, praising him for who he is. You confess by just acknowledging your sin, the ways you fall short. And in that, acknowledging the forgiveness that you have. Thanksgiving, thank God for the many blessings that you have in your life. And then lastly, supplication, which is just a big word for request. Ask God for things. So my challenge, this could look like 1 minute a day. This could look like an hour a day. And you don't need to go in the order, but it'd be cool if we did this together and know that we're doing it together. And again, the hope is that we would begin to practice prayerfulness, that we would begin to do that and start building foundations so that as we grow, we can find freedom in prayer and that we would grow in hunger for God. So with that, I'm going to give us just some space for that. And Joey's going to put some music on. And this is your space to be with God. And then at some point, the worship team is going to come up. And if you want to just stay where you are in prayer, do that. Or if you want to stand in worship, do that. Whatever you want to do, the room is yours to do it. All I would ask is that you would not be in a position where you'd be distracting other people and don't be talking to others. And then we'll close in worship together. So you guys have space, and I'll once music starts, you guys can have that time. You guys are free to kind of spread out around the room if you want to.
when I'm alone, when my faith is almost gone, you see my heart, you lead me home, you give me courage to carry on. I need you more. I need you more. I need you more than my very breath. I need you more. I need you more. I need you more than my very. I need you more. I need you more.